All right, we end with the Royals. Why would we talk Royals right now? Well, we know just the other day the Royals had their final day of the season, final game, ended up with a losing record. Eric Hosmer's a free agent. Alcides Escobar, free agent. Lorenzo Cain's a free agent. Mike Moustakas, free agent. Mike Minor's a free agent. Jason Vargas is a free agent. Ned Yost says 100% sure he's going to be back. Well, what's he thinking now? Dayton Moore, general manager of the Royals. There are some reports out there. If you don't know what happened, the Atlanta Braves, and that's where Dayton got his start, worked under John Schuerholz, and it was up-and-coming possibility of GM, and then the Royals paid the money and brought him in, and he eventually turned around the Royals franchise. The Braves didn't fire. Their general manager resigned because he's being investigated for some issues with signing international players. Mm-hmm. So unexpectedly, the Atlanta Braves general manager position has opened up. And the Braves have made it very clear their number one choice is Dayton Moore. Dayton hasn't exactly squashed the rumors. He says, I don't talk about these openings, so forth and so on. He didn't say anything about not being interested or anything like that. And the Royals, this is the change. The change is already happening. As soon as the season was over, the very next morning, which was yesterday, the Royals let go of pitching coach Dave Island, bench coach Don Wakamatsu. They have been let go. There will be other changes. Ned says they want a different voice to deal with some of the younger players that will be coming up. Everybody acknowledges it's the end of an era in Royals baseball. If there was ever a time for Dayton Moore to leave, now would be the time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You bled the minor league system dry with the trades. You don't have a lot coming up. You go to the Braves, they have a lot of young players and lots of trades they made. They are a team that's struggling, but they are further along in the rebuild than the Royals. The Royals haven't even started the rebuild yet. They will start next year. The Braves have already started the rebuild. They got some good young pitching. That's what the Royals, Dayton Moore was working with when he started with the Royals, some young pitching with Ventura and Duffy. To me, this makes sense for him to go back. He spent 11 years with the Braves organization, and the Braves make it very clear that they want him. According to Bob Nightingale, a reporter of Major League Baseball, he says the same associates of Dayton Moore who believed that Dayton was staying with the Royals before today now believe that Dayton will likely leave for the Atlanta Braves.
Would not be shocked.
I would not be shocked by that at all. No. In fact, I think we've thought that for a long time. You know, there's this talk that if the San Antonio Spurs job ever opens, that Bill Self would be the first person called to replace Popovich or whoever is let go. If Popovich leaves or if Self doesn't take it, and then 5 years from now a different coach comes in and then he leaves, that R.C. Buford and him are best buddies, and that Bill Self, if he's ever going to coach the NBA, it'll be with the San Antonio Spurs. And so if the Spurs come a-knocking, that might be the one job Bill Self would leave for. There are people that have thought for a long time that if Dayton Moore left for any job, it would be the Atlanta Braves. He'd go back to Atlanta. And here we are. Unexpectedly, this popped up. Remember, Roy, the only place he would go from Kansas would be North Carolina. It popped up once. It ended. He didn't go. And then he didn't think it would come up again. And then he eventually went back.
Oh, I do.
You know? So he didn't think it was going to come back open again that quickly, obviously. It did. And he took it the second time around. And so here we are. Dayton Moore could be leaving for the Braves. I've had people already texting me, freaking out a little bit, Royals fans, about, oh, my God, we're going to lose Dayton. See, I don't see that as a big deal. Maybe I'm in the minority on this. I understand Dayton Moore was a great general manager in regards to changing a small market franchise into a World Series champion. And what he did was magical. Everything he touched turned to gold in 14 and 15. But as I've documented, and it's on our podcast, almost every single major move he has made and every trade he has made since they won the World Series, starting with the signing of Alex Gordon, has flat out been wrong. He has had a horrible track record. And now he has a minor league system that isn't ranked very high because he's, you know, like I said, traded a lot of prospects away in it to win it. And how great of a general manager is Dayton Moore? Now, I'm going to always hold him in high esteem because he brought a championship to Kansas City I didn't think any general manager could ever do again. So there will be a statue of him in front of Kauffman Stadium someday, and there should be. There should be a street named after him. He's an amazing GM to do what he did. And I said it at the time when in 2015 he was the best general manager in sports. And I stand by it, because at the time he was. But things change. 2 years later, I would argue he's one of the worst GMs in sports. And I've had people tell me that's too much. I'm over the top. And I'm going to say, okay, well, why don't you become a school teacher, and now you grade what he's done. Grade his work, all right? It changes. You know, if you're a student in school and you get straight A's and all of a sudden you have a two-week period where you have bad work, you still have to, as a teacher, still got to give him a D, right?
Yeah.
Do you just give them an A because they've been great for 2 years? Well, that's not the right message to send. Okay, Dayton Moore got an A-plus for what he did. But after 2015, I'd give him a D-plus at best. Maybe an F. And now we're freaking out. Dayton Moore's going to leave? J.J. Piccolo is highly thought of, the assistant general manager of the Royals. The Nationals wanted to talk to him. The Twins wanted to talk to him. And there are many, he's highly thought of in the Royals organization. And I think Dayton Moore, if he leaves, it might be a good thing for the Royals. Because you talk about starting fresh, you have a guy that's going to want to be there for a while, and J.J. Piccolo. There had been talk that Dayton does a lot of mission work, does a lot of great things in the community and across the world, that he eventually would quit earlier than most people think because he'd want to pursue those things. So I don't think Dayton Moore is a guy that's going to be in Kansas City, even if stays this year, is going to be there for 10 more years. I don't think that's going to happen, even though he's pretty young. So if he's going to go, that's fine with me. Go, and I will applaud him for everything he brought to Kansas City, and let J.J. Piccolo, who should take a little bit of credit in some of the things he does as well during this run, and let's see what he can do with this franchise. And you talk about, you know, I would rather have J.J. Piccolo making the decisions on the future of these free agents and if they were going to re-sign them than Dayton Moore, and then Dayton leaves in a couple years. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
If Dayton's 1 foot's out the door, then let him go. Let's not freak out about it. Let's do the same thing we did with Eric Hosmer and Moustakas and Escobar and Kane. Let's applaud them. Let's give them a standing ovation. We love them to death for what they did. We will cheer them when they're back at Kauffman Stadium. If the Braves come back and Dayton Moore's a GM, I will be on the first one on my feet standing and clapping and applauding what he's done. But it's okay if he leaves. It's not like the Royals are going to go in the tank, because I think they're already going to go in the tank whether he's here next year or not because of what he's created by going for it and winning it, which was still the right thing to do. In regards to winning in the World Series, he went and made the trades. Now, was it the right thing to go all in this year? I think the answer is obvious. It probably wasn't, but you understood why he did it. One last run with the core of guys that he's going to lose to free agency. But I think the Royals will be fine. I think the bigger question out of all of this, the coaching changes that are happening, Dayton Moore may be leaving if he does leave. Ned Yost said the other day, a couple weeks ago, on Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City, that he was 100% sure that he was going to come back and manage the Royals. He has 1 year left on his deal. That's next year. So he's going to be part of a rebuild. I think he knows that. He's not stupid. But he stressed that it was relationships, one of the main reasons he's going to stay and do another year, and he mentioned Dayton a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the question. If Dayton Moore leaves and J.J. Piccolo takes over as GM of the Royals, does Ned Yost stay, or does he change his mind and say, okay, this is a big reason why I stayed, because of the relationship I have with Dayton Moore? I'm sure he has a relationship with J.J. Piccolo, but he doesn't mention J.J. He mentions Dayton Moore when he said he was coming back next year. So this could be a trickle-down effect. Moore leaves, Ned might leave. And that might not be the end of the world either. It might not be. It might be okay. For people that don't like getting Yosted, you might be all excited about this possibility. You could have a completely new coaching staff next year. You could have a new GM next year. You could have a new first baseman, a new third baseman, a new center fielder, a new shortstop. You're talking a complete, complete gutting of the team, in essence, from the top down, except with the ownership. It is a very real possibility.
Yeah, you already know you're going to have a new pitching coach and a new bench coach, so why not get a new manager and general manager and new players? And
Let's
just make this like the coach, the Marlins.
House.
Marlins did it at right directly after they won World Series twice,
uh-huh.
And then
it worked.
It did.
Time.
Yeah, the first
years later
that's
they
not
got back
the second
and won
time.
It. No, it didn't the second time.
But yeah, I mean, it's whatever for me. Like I'm not going to sit here and act like the world's ending if Dayton Moore or Ned Yost are gone.
That's exactly
and
right.
Or like both of them or one of them or none of them, whatever happens next year,
right?
We know that the product that's going onto the field, it's not going to be anywhere near what it needs to be to probably even contend for the playoffs, let alone a World Series championship.
Well, let me ask you a question, because this has been going through my head quite a bit, because all the Royals fans, they're still warm and ooey and gooey inside because of what these guys did. They brought a championship to Kansas City. And trust me, I get it. And so the fans, we really please Hosmer come back and Kane come back and Moose come back and Escobar come back. They played the whole year and had a losing record. Now, that's not completely their fault. The pitching let them down. But let's be honest. The Royals had all these guys play last year and this year. And collectively, in 2 years, they had a losing record. Two games under 500.
Yeah.
They were 81-81 last year with these core guys. And this year, They were two games under, 80 and 82. So I hear this, well, we'll be okay next year. You lose all these guys from an 80 and 82 team. We're not talking about a 95-win team and you're going to go back to winning 80. We're talking you're at 80 now, and you might lose Vargas. You might lose Miner as well, who ended up being a closer the final couple of weeks. You're sitting here going, how bad could this team be next year without these guys? Or you could argue, with a couple of moves and younger guys coming up, we're going to take our lumps, but we're going to be exciting to watch, and it'll be our second run with a rebuild. But you don't have Eric Hosmer in the minors. You don't have Mike Moustakas. You don't have Salvador Perez in the minors. You've got him at the big league level, but we know that wear and tear is going to catch up to him. You got nobody pitching-wise ready to come up. You don't have a Danny Duffy or Yordan Ventura. So I argue that this next group of guys is not going to do anything close to what these guys did, which would be hard to repeat the feat. But when you want to look ahead to next year, Dayton Moore, if he stays as GM, or if he hands off the reins of J.J. Piccolo and he leaves for Atlanta, whoever it is the GM next year has got a major problem to deal with. A whole bunch of money going out to declining players and Alex Gordon, Ian Kennedy, and Joaquim Soria, and Jason Hamill, and others. So you got a lot of money tied up in those older guys. You don't have a lot of youth in the minor league system that's even close to being ready. Right now, here's what your Royals lineup looks like for 2018 if the Royals don't make any moves, which they probably will make a few moves, but nothing probably earth-shattering, right? Because they got to cut payroll. Yeah. They're going to have to cut some payroll. They can't have the same payroll, and they're going to lose a lot of payroll with Hosmer and Moose and all these guys leaving. Your catcher's going to be Perez. Your first baseman right now is Brandon Moss. Your second baseman is Whit Merrifield. Your shortstop is Raul Mondesi. Now, this is assuming none of the free agents are re-signed. Yeah. Third base is Cuthbert. Left field is Gordon. Center field is Paulo Orlando. Let that sink in. He's your starting center fielder right now. Bubba Starling's not ready. Your right fielder is probably Jorge Bonifacio. And Soler is your DH because Moss is playing first. That's your lineup. Your starting pitching, Duffy's your one. Your two is Junis right now. Your three is Hamill. Your four is Kennedy. And your five is Carnes, if he can come back healthy. You have five experienced starters, but you got nothing behind them. And Dayton Moore and every general manager will tell you need at least seven or eight solid starting pitchers to get through a season. And we know they needed it this year. There's nobody in the minors ready to go. Kyle Zimmer's just been an injury-plagued player for his career. I don't think that's going to change. I wish it would. Skoglund doesn't look like he's the guy. So they're going to have to go find a starting pitcher or two, probably. The bullpen, if you re-sign Mike Minor, you've got something. You might have something. Minor's your closer. You got Herrera be your eighth inning guy. Soria, your seventh. You probably feel better about Soria in the seventh than the eighth, perhaps a little bit. You got Alexander had a nice year. Mm-hmm. I mean, your bullpen's not so bad. Nope. If Minor is that guy that can be a dominant closer, like he looked like he could be at the end of the year. So the bullpen looks like it could be okay. The starting pitching is definitely a concern because you know how bad Kennedy was. Vargas, I don't think they're going to re-sign. He will walk away after winning 18 games, the lead in the league. And then you can talk about offense. I mean, Cuthbert hit, what, 220 this year, limited time. Merrifield was great. Mondesi can't hit yet at the big league level. Moss is swing and miss or hit a home run. Salvi doesn't hit for average, but some power and had his best power year. But you know he's going to miss some games due to injury. Older wear and tear. Center field, Orlando is not going to give you a lot offensively. You highly doubt. Left field, Gordon, unless he's found something at the end of September going into next year, you're not going to have a lot of offense there. Bonifacio is a strikeout or a home run type of guy. And Soler is even worse than all of those guys. He strikes out or he hits a home run about 500 feet. And there's no in-between with him. So you don't have a team that makes a lot of contact that roster that I just gave you that isn't making a lot of contact. You've got speed with Merrifield and Mondesi. But Merrifield's the only one that's proven to get on base, to steal bases. Mm-hmm. You have to sit here and go, and where's the power going to come from? So Soler, Bonifacio, and Moss might team up for 60 homers next year. They also team up to strike out 450 times.
Right.
So I don't see how this team is going to be. I'm sorry. I guess I'm Debbie Downer here. I just don't see how this team. I don't see how this team avoids 90 losses next year, let alone 100, because you're 80 and 82, and you take away that talent and that experience and those leaders, and this is all predicated on they all don't come back, okay? Mm-hmm. You're at least 10 games worse. You're at least 10 games worse without these guys. So now you're 70 and 92. And you could easily be 65 and 97.
Yeah.
Or 62 and 100. They're not that far from being a 100-loss team. They're a lot closer to being a 100-loss team than they are to winning a division, obviously, going into next year.
Yeah.
I can't.
You forgot to mention that they have the two key components in their bullpen, Ryan Buchter and Brandon Maurer.
Did I leave them out?
Buchter is under team control. We are good to go.
Yes, and Maurer
will have arbitration, but he's not a total free agent until 2020.
Right. So they'll be back. Well, they can be the mop-up guys. Sweet.
We're
going to have to mop up a lot of games next year. We're going to be down by a lot.
You can't sign Mike Minor. You got Maurer ready to close.
Oh, God, no. No. I want Minor. Now, let me ask you this. This is the last question before we end up. So there's talk about Hosmer being the top target of all the free agents. That was the way they said in spring training. Dayton Moore insinuated that at the end of the season the other day. There's also the speculation Dayton was not there the final day of the season. He wasn't there for the post-game, the after-season press conference yesterday. Ned was. Dayton was missing. So people are assuming he's already in Atlanta interviewing, which we don't know. That is kind of an interesting thing. I need to throw it out there. But Hosmer is the top target of the free agents. And the Royals sound like they would offer a $100 million contract, whether it's five for 100, five for 110. I think I'd go five at least to be in the ballpark. Yeah. Five for 120. I don't know what's going to be. Red Sox, Yankees are expected to maybe be in the bidding process. But let me ask you this. After Hosmer, let's just take Hosmer out of the equation. Who would be the next guy based on your payroll limitations, okay? Who would you try to re-sign?
It's Escobar for me.
Why?
Why? Because of the money situation.
Because of money?
And what you can get, the value you can get for what you could probably re-sign him for. I mean, if they can only get one of them back, it's probably going to be him. Okay. I would think. If they only end up keeping one of them, if they can somehow make
it. So your first target would be Escobar after Hosmer.
Yes.
You're giving up on Moose and Kane. You can't sign them because of money probably, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that I wouldn't rather have Escobar long-term than Kane just because of his age.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just wearing down, I think.
He's lost
a step, I believe.
Kane's not as durable. I'm with you there. And that gives Monty a little bit of time, or you maybe play him in center field. To me, I've shifted a little bit. I think for that bullpen to be good next year, and it might not matter if the starters aren't good enough, I think you do make Mike Minor a priority. I think you make him a priority. I mean, in a great year, I think he'll be affordable. So him and Escobar are affordable. To me, after Hosmer, I agree with Chad. After Hosmer, the two guys, when we consider the payroll restraints they're going to have, I think the two guys you try to re-sign out of that whole group is Escobar and Minor. Now, you could roll the dice and let Escobar go and then put that money towards trying to keep Kane and Minor and just switch it. I don't think you're going to be able – I just don't think the Royals are even considering that much re-signing Kane because he is older, his legs hurt, he was lucky to get through the whole year this year. That was his goal. He's going to be more of a right fielder here in the next few years because of the wear and tear on his legs. I think the Royals see – I think Kane is the last priority for them, even though they don't have a guy ready in center. Mm-hmm. But they probably figure we can somehow piecemeal it, get through it with Orlando, and maybe Starling will come up at some point. Or maybe they find somebody, a free agent, speedy guy that can play center that doesn't cost them much. But to me, after Hosmer, I think that the priorities will be – Escobar and Minor would be my next priorities because I'm riding off Kane and then I'm riding off Moose. I can't afford Moose with 38 homers, and I think the Angels are going to overpay and take him in L.A. So all my focus will be on Hosmer. He's the face of the franchise. He's the leader. I got to go after him with everything I got. But if I can't realistically sign him or have a chance of signing him, I got to move on, and my next guy I talk to is, I think, Minor or Escobar.
Well, and if I'm going to try to re-sign one of
these guys, which is sad because Mondesi should be ready to go.
If I have
Escobar should be let go. Mondesi should be ready. That's the bad thing.
Yeah.
But he's only 22. We got to remember that.
He is really young yet, though. But, you know, when you come down to the two biggest marquee names in this whole deal are Moose and Hosmer.
And there's no way they're going
to
keep both of them.
If I have to choose between, I want Hosmer over Moose. I think Moose is easier to place for them at third than Hosmer is at first base. You know, a better hitter for average, arguably the best defensive first baseman in the league. There's a lot of guys that can get to balls and throw hard from third base and get it to first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you got the 38 homers from Moose. That's going to up his value probably in the free agent market, and somebody's going to overpay for him probably a little bit. And that's why I still think if you go after one or the other, it's got to be Hosmer. So you got to give up. I don't think you can get both. You can't have both.
No.
They're not going to get both. And so you go after Hosmer if you can get him. And – you know, I don't know what you do. I don't think they'll be able to keep Moose. I think somebody will offer Moose more money than they're willing to pay him before they're going to do that for Hosmer.
Yeah. And Hosmer's the face of the franchise. We know that. I mean, look at the ovation he got the other day. I mean, he is loved. Everybody says he's a class act. Nobody's said anything bad about him, even in the media. He is in his prime at 27. He has not, knock on wood, of course, now watch, he'll sign a $120 million deal with the Royals and get hurt.
Right,
but he's durable. You know, Moose missed a whole year, basically torn ACL.
Yeah,
freak play.
How often you ever see
Moose was banged up this year towards the end with a knee injury. The knee was hurting, and he got hit by a pitch. So he was sporadic towards the end. He didn't finish strong. Hosmer did. Hosmer's more durable. He's in better shape physically, no question, than Moustakas. So I think Hosmer has to be your top target if you can somehow keep him. But the question then is, okay, he's your top target, but how far are you willing to go? How much money are you willing to spend? Because if you spend, let's say the goal is you're going to spend $110 million on Hosmer. 5 years, $110, $22 million a year. And with that contract, if you get him under that contract for 5 years, $110, and you can backload it, like always, then Dayton or J.J. Piccolo can say, okay, this is the plan. We're going to go after Hosmer. That's the top amount we're willing to spend. And we're also figuring in we got some extra money, and we're going to go re-sign Minor and Escobar. But if Hosmer is going to get up into a $120, $130, $140 million 7-year contract, the Royals might have to walk. And if that's the case, you got to hope that Hosmer goes quickly in the market so that then you might have to say, you know what, we might try to keep Moose.
Right.
Or we might try to sign Kane and Moose. Or we might try to keep Vargas. That changes your whole game plan. But here's the thing. The whole offseason for the Royals, in regards to the free agency and the guys coming back, all hinges on what Hosmer does. Mm-hmm. It completely hinges.
And how quickly.
And how quickly. And how serious are the Royals. If the Royals think we have no chance of signing him, then they might move on. And then somehow Hosmer might fall back in their lap. That's what happened with Gordon. The Royals moved on. They thought Gordon was gone. They moved on. He fell back in their lap. Now, the difference is Gordon wasn't in his prime. He had a little bit injury prone. He still got $72 million from the Royals, but he thought he'd get $100.
Right.
Maybe the market, and I've said this before, and I think this is a wild card to the whole thing. All the Royals fans think of Hosmer as a superstar, all right? But he's not. Everybody thinks that he's a superstar around Kansas City. He is in Kansas City, but not nationally, he's not a superstar. So the Yankees and Red Sox, they might not value him as much as the Royals do, to where the Royals might have a chance to re-sign him to a big-time deal. The next question is, does David Glass really want to go and take on another major long-term deal when he's already on the hook for Kennedy and Gordon for 2 more years? Those are all questions I can't answer.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting offseason.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to value Hosmer like the Royals do in the majors. But at the same time, somebody's going to value him enough to overpay for something in their lineup that they need. And that's a guy that can hit for average. It's a guy that can hit, you know, 25 to 30 home runs and give you, you know, 80 to 100 RBI.
Right.
People have been overpaying for people like that for quite some time.
But nobody was willing to do it for Gordon. I know Gordon's a different player, but Gordon was highly valued as a defensive outfielder. He was one of the top free agent outfielders that was available after the 14 or the 15 World Series. And that wasn't the case, because that was a talk. We had the conversation.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to overbid for Gordon. We're not going to see Gordon in a Royals uniform. That's what we said.
Yeah.
And we got to be careful not to fall in the same trap with Hosmer. So I know it's a different situation.
But then they turned around and overpaid Gordon anyway.
Well, we think so. Yeah. But based on the market, they didn't. Based on the market, they probably didn't. Kennedy, they overpaid.
A big wild card for Hosmer is his age, too. You know, he's 27. And so that's going to come into it too. I mean, the Yankees,
and Boris is his agent.
Exactly.
Gordon didn't have Boris.
Yeah, and I really think a team like the Yankees, that has, like what we were talking about the other day, they've got this nucleus of young guys that they're building,
Hosmer,
and they can bring
a
guy like Hosmer that's a perfect fit for that, and they can afford to overpay for him.
Sure, that's right. And smack dab in the middle of this prime.
Exactly.
Left-handed bat.
And so, because he did, he had probably his best statistical year. They didn't
after
win
a really
because
bad
of it.
Start,
but in the end, he had his best statistical year. So somebody's going to overpay for that. A team like the Yankees is what I'm thinking about. You know, somebody that has that money that is not worried about being handicapped because they did it. Mm-hmm. And as much as it pains me to say that, the Yankees just feel like a perfect fit for Eric Hosmer with what they want to do and what they want to continue to do with that group.
I need to go through and do some homework on looking at every team's current first baseman and third baseman.
Yeah, that's the case, too.
See how many teams are really in the market for a Hosmer or a Moustakas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know the Angels, I think, need one, and he's from California, Moose.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great fit. And here's one last question I'll ask you. These keep popping in my head. Last night I couldn't fall asleep, so I was thinking about these things, and that's how weird I am. What teams do you absolutely not want to see Hosmer and Moustakas playing for? Forget Kane and Escobar, the two guys everybody talks about. Moustakas and Hosmer. What teams do you absolutely, positively do not want them to play for? Okay? Now, the obvious one is the Yankees. We know that. All right? The next one for me is the Cardinals. I don't want Hosmer and Moose playing for the Cardinals, even though they'd be in a different league, because we're still going to see them with the home-and-home act we do every year in interleague play. I don't want to see them go to St. Louis. And the next place I probably don't want to see him go is probably Boston. And the last one I thought of, sorry, I'm still bitter, the Giants. I don't want to see Hosmer with the Panda or Bumgarner, you know? I just don't want to see that. Those are the four teams I thought of that I do not want to see them on. I'm assuming they will not go in division to the Twins, who don't. The Twins, I don't think will. The Tigers, they're rebuilding. And I don't think the Royals, those two guys would go there anyway. And I don't think they want to go within the division either. But if they get paid enough money, the Indians don't have any openings there. They got young players each position. Mm-hmm. So I'm excluding the division. Is there anybody I'm leaving out that you do not want to see them be on?
I was going to say the Yankees are in the division.
But in that, outside of the...
Would you be bothered if they were a Cardinal?
I mean, here's my order. Here's my order of who I don't want them to play for.
Okay.
Yankees, yes. Cardinals, yes. White Sox, Tigers, Indians.
Okay, I'm skipping division, so...
Yeah, White Sox, Tigers, right. Indians, Twins. There's six.
I'm with you there. So Red Sox, you're okay with?
I don't have a problem.
You're okay
if they go to the Red Sox.
All right. See, I'm okay if they go to the Angels.
I mean, Red Sox aren't like overly ideal, but I don't have a problem if they go to the Red Sox.
No, I'd like them to both go to the same team.
That'd be cool.
Seriously, because they only got to deal with it once when they come back to Kansas City. Not, oh, we got 19 games against these team or 10 games against this team. Oh, there's Moose. He's coming in for 10. And then we got Hosmer for another 7. Nah, just be on the same team. You know, I don't know what the Angels' situation at first base is. They got tons of money. They got Trout. They got Pujols. Money doesn't seem to be an issue for them. Maybe they do have a room for Hosmer and Moose, and they'll go to L.A. and be in the West Coast and in the limelight and TV market. Maybe that's the place for him. I don't know. And I'd be okay with that.
I don't know if the Angels have changed their approach because the big contracts that they've been given have not been good.
Pujols, C.J. Wilson, Greinke, Josh Hamilton. Yeah, they've had some really bad deals. And that's another reason you just brought those big contracts up.
Yeah.
Why the Royals got to be very careful not to overextend for Hosmer. We love you, Haas, but maybe long-term the best thing happened to the Royals would be for Dayton to go to the Braves. Mm-hmm. J.J. Piccolo step in. And Eric Hosmer go ahead and go away free agency. And then the Royals have more money. So then in a couple years, the Royals, if these younger guys come together, the guys they do like, then in a couple years, you might have all kinds of financial flexibility to go get a guy like a Hosmer or Moustakas as a free agent to finish out your team. Because once you can get Kennedy and Gordon off the books in 2 years, then you're going to have all kinds of financial flexibility.
Gordon's got 3 more, doesn't he? He got a 4-year.
Yeah, you have 3. Yeah, that's right.
No, he's got 2 years.
No, it's 2 years. They had a 4-year deal. 4 years, 72.
Two years. Yeah, this is next year will be.
He's
the
halfway
year.
Through.
This will be the third year. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's halfway through. Four years.
Right after they won.
Kennedy
the World
has
Series.
Kennedy has 5 years. Actually, I think he has 3 years left. Kennedy has 3 years. He had a 5-year deal, $70 million. Kennedy has an option on the fifth year. Do you think Kennedy's not going to pick up the option? No. The Royals and Gordon. The Royals have a team option.
It's a mutual option. Yeah.
They both have to accept the option.
Yeah.
Gordon can accept it. The Royals can say no.
Yeah.
Kennedy is a player option.
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
Kennedy has the power. Do you think Kennedy's going to walk away from $20-some million 3 years from now?
No.
He's going to stay with the Royals even though if the Royals stink or not because nobody else can pay him that money.
Exactly.
Whereas Gordon might land stay.
He's got $4 million. That's where the $72 million comes.
That's why they talk about the 4-year deal. There's a 5th-year option. Everybody excludes it because everybody knows that the Royals won't pick it up. So Chad's technically right.
$4 million buyout. That's why it's $72 million instead of $90 million.
Do you know that if Gordon opted in and the Royals mutually opted in with Gordon for that final year, it'd be $23 million for that 5th year? That's 23 million reasons why the Royals are not going to accept
that. Ask Billy Butler how that mutual option thing works out.
Billy Butler, he isn't even in baseball anymore. Wow. If not for Gordon's defense, he might not be in baseball anymore either. That's one thing Billy had. He only had his bat. Once he couldn't hit, he was toast.
It was over.
See ya. 10:18 hours time. We'll see ya. Bye.